Welcome to Dynasty Sports Empire, the podcast where we talk about sports, dynasty fantasy sports, dynasties, empires, anything that we can think of, anything we land on along the way. Joining me tonight, recovered from his dental emergency. Tim Reinhart, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. No longer in a state of emergency with the tooth, thankfully. So I feel a lot better. Last week you gave me the Jordan reference. So maybe I'm coming back, you know, wearing the 4-5 here.
That's right.
So,
you know, I love a good Jay-Z reference.
Yeah. And the Jordan reference. You know, I was wondering if you would pick that up. I feel like that was when we first moved up here to Boston. I feel like we were like making Jay-Z references from a Black album for like 2 years.
Yeah. And what was our walkout song for the flag football? Jay-Z and Kanye.
Forget the name of that song. Diamonds from Sierra Leone, I think.
Yes. Diamonds from Sierra Leone. Great song.
That's one of my hype up songs. That like if I need to get into a, you know, into a get some stuff done kind of mood, yeah. I'll listen to that one. That's a good one.
That's a really good one. So, just as a point of reference, Tim and I were both ringers on a MIT Massachusetts Institute of Technology grad school flag football league.
Were ringers. Has the statute of limitations run out, or are they going to strip us of our two titles?
I think the statute has, okay. So we can talk about this publicly.
I'm gonna admit right now, I'm not really even, what does BE stand for? We were on the BE team, biological engineering,
biological engineering. Yeah. Correct us if we're wrong. Shout out to Bracken for like the fifth time.
That was a good team. We had a lot of fun, every Saturday morning, waking up at 9 o'clock after going out on Friday and heading trudging down to MIT football fields.
Yeah. So my favorite memory of that and why we needed to check on the statute of limitations is that in the championship game, I believe our team lead needed to present identification cards for all the members of the team.
Yes.
So he collected two extra cards from two people who did look nothing like us, and somehow passed us off as players. That was my most nervous. I think I was like, he's never going to take those things. There's no way. And he didn't compare one to one. He just looked through all of them and he's like, okay, whatever. So
this is going to be like the NCAA. They're going to retroactively vacate all those wins, you know, and not credit us with those titles.
Yeah, you know what? The banners are still hanging, you know, in the rafters there at the biological engineering home area, wherever that was.
Do you remember in that one game, like it had snowed and there was snow on the ground and
the snow game.
And I remember I caught a pass and like I accidentally ran over this kid on the other team. Like I didn't mean to. And then like, he got ejected from the. Do you remember what happened? I remember that.
Well, it started a little kerfluffle, a little fracas broke out. And, you know, one guy on our team came off the bench to push their guy. And so their best player got ejected, and one of the guys off our bench got ejected. So we ended up ahead in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was so funny.
That was our arch rivals, the Sloan Business School.
Yeah, the business school there.
Tough team.
They were good. And then I think they ended up getting this. Listen to us talk about this. They had a couple years later, I think they had this kid that like, you know, must have played quarterback, you know, previously in his life because he was legit.
Yeah.
Started lighting us up. But yeah, that was, those were fun, fun Saturday and Sunday mornings.
Yeah. I think they went the B school route and said, you know what? I believe that there's ringers on that team. So they brought in a ringer that was better than us.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, you know, it was fun. You know, you were probably our defensive MVP on that team, playing, you know, out on the island, Darrell Revis style.
Yes, I was a super deep safety. Yeah, I would play all those.
I thought you were on the corner. You were more like, I don't know. Maybe you were more like Ronnie Lott than enforcer in our secondary.
Yeah, and interceptions. You know, I was kind of the center fielder. So,
That was fun. Yeah, I played a lot of wideout. I remember that. I mean, everyone's a wideout. It's flag football.
Yeah, it was a good time. I still always remember the one time we were playing one team, and it was actually the first game that my girlfriend, then now wife, came to. And there was
any games.
Yeah, she came to one. And this one, I remember specifically, there was a fluttering pass that went up, and we both went up for it. And it was like the easiest pass. There was nobody within miles of us, and we smashed heads.
You and me?
Yeah, and the ball went incomplete. We were both going for it, like, I got it. And neither of us got it. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yet somehow she stayed with you, and you're married and have two kids now.
Yeah, after that sterling, sports play, you know, how could she not?
I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way. I don't think it was ever your athletic prowess.
It's not in the top 10. It's probably not in the top 10. Yeah.
Well, who knows? You got the treadmill now, so maybe.
Yeah. I could be a best shape of my life candidate coming up for spring training around.
All right. I like it. Good stuff. All right.
So bringing us back around, this is Dynasty Sports Empire, the podcast. You can email us at dsethepodcast@gmail.com, at dsepodcast on Twitter, dsethepodcast on Instagram. Obviously, dynastysportsempire.com/podcast has us and all of the other wonderful podcasts from the dynastysportsempire.com family. It's growing. So check it out. Get in on the ground floor. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. Other people can then find us. And if you make a 5-star review, obviously we will read your 5-star review. We have one more to add today. So Dan Mam 91 actually revised their review, saying, yes. I did not know that you were a third wave ska fan, but now that I do, I revise my review. Your podcast is the Streetlight Manifesto of ska. So I'm
You're
not
going to explain that to me.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty deep ska reference there. I wasn't that much into Streetlight Manifesto, but we obviously appreciate all third wave ska, all ska in general references. I will take them all. Just list bands in your review if that's what you want to do.
We'll accept. Very nice.
So let's get to our top stories here, Tim. The first thing that we're going to go ahead and talk about is the coaching moves around the NFL.
Yeah, the carousel is moving.
Yeah, so we have a couple that are Jets and Ohio State adjacent. So I wanted to start with those.
Yeah.
First, your boy Urban Meyer, former head coach of Ohio State Buckeyes, former head coach of the Florida Gators, is now the head coach at Jacksonville. What's your first thought on that one?
I love Urban Meyer. I love just on sort of like a personal level, the way that I, or like the style of leadership and coaching that I do with my high school baseball team is largely based off of the book that he wrote called Above the Line. I think it's super tremendous book for people that want to be, you know, leaders in organizations, but also just personally, it's a good book to read. So I love Urban Meyer. On a leadership level, I think he'll put in the sort of organizational structure of like a CEO style coach. And he's going to get, you know, he's going to get his quarterback. Probably I assume they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. I'm rooting for it. I'm rooting for Urban Meyer to do well. I think the cards are stacked against him, and something does make me wonder, like, why did he feel like he needed to do this? Like, he's been to the top of the mountain of college football. He's proved to everybody that he's, you know, among the best coaches to ever coach at that level. So why take this one on? I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, he was at Florida, so this is actually still in Florida, different part, obviously. But I think sometimes these coaches, they just can't quit. It's like kind of like an addiction, right? So if somebody comes to you and you're a former coach and they're like, hey, you know, we'd love to have you in the NFL, you know, these guys are not going to say, no, I have enough money, I want to just sit by the pool, you know? So yeah. I think that is something that just, if it's out there and they have a chance to go for it, they're going to go for it. And that's kind of, you know, what I get from Urban Meyer. I know he's had some kind of health scares in the past, just being a little bit too into it. So obviously that's a concern for him.
Right. You worry about that.
The other thing that I actually like about this move is that they did not give him full power. They hired a general manager above him, right? So yeah. I don't know exactly who's going to make what call, but you know, they did hire a NFL personnel guy that is seasoned. I forget the name off the top of my head, but
I'm not sure who it is either. Yeah.
Yeah. It just came out today. So, you know, the college guys, I worry about them getting full control, right? So sometimes they can name their own price and sometimes that price is full control. And when, you know, you have full control of a college team is way different than an NFL team. So I think as long as they leave them to be kind of the face of the franchise, the CEO of the team, as far as front facing and leading the team, I think it should be okay. He can get rid of basically everybody on the team. So there's no guys there that are like, oh, we have to keep him going forward.
So one thing that I guess I heard when on ESPN that I thought was like an interesting, I guess, point is that, you know, Jacksonville is probably not going to be good overnight. And that will be, no matter where Urban Meyer's been, whether it's been Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, like his first year at Ohio State, they went undefeated. Right. Like he's not winning 16 games, at Jacksonville. And so how is he going to manage and deal with the fact that the team is probably going to lose more games than it wins? That's not something he's ever experienced before.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, that amongst other things is just what he's got to get adjusted to. And I mean, probably could be fine. They have plenty of cap space to bring in guys. They're going to get a star quarterback at number one overall. So, you know, it's pretty good setup if he can recruit some free agents there and recruit some good coaches to kind of delegate those extra day-to-day tasks to.
Right. I think that's going to be important. I don't know who, if they even have hired an offensive coordinator, you know, but I think he's going to need guys that are sort of head coach worthy at those two positions, you know, in order to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly a big splash for Jacksonville.
It's a flashy hire.
Yeah. So I think it could be successful. It's certainly up in the air. None of these new jobs are slam dunks anyway. So, you know, I don't blame Jacksonville, I guess, for going for the big name.
And, you know, I don't think he's going to, like, a lot of people question, like, college coaches going to the pro level and saying, like, well, they can't coach the same way that they coach these kids. And I don't think he's going to really run into that just based on, like, knowing how he, you know, just having paid attention to a lot of the leadership stuff from the book. And he's done a podcast. I think it's called Focus 3 Podcast, that he does with a leadership guru guy that he brought into Ohio State called Tim Kite. So like I just knowing a lot of that, like, I don't think he's going to have that issue.
Yeah. And I think the guys that are disciplinarians are the guys that don't work as well in the NFL.
Right.
And it doesn't strike me as a disciplinarian.
Right. Right. Right.
So, our other side of the coin for you, the New York Jets, they hired from the San Francisco 49ers the defensive coordinator Robert Saleh.
I love this. Love this.
So go ahead.
I love that he picked. So this guy could have had any job in the NFL. I really believe that. Like he's the hot name. Mm-hmm. And he picked the Jets. Like, let that sink in for a second.
Sure. Right?
Like, you know, going into this, like, I was happy to, you know, you never want to like revel in the fact that someone loses their job, but it was time to move on from Adam Gase, obviously.
Yep.
And I was worried, you know, that they would get sort of like the whoever was left after all the initial hires had been done. So you looked at like the openings and you see, you know, like the Lions have a franchise quarterback. You have a good young quarterback in San Diego. Like there are other jobs that, you know, seem to be better than the Jets, and he wanted to be there, and I dig that. And I think he's, you know, it seems like he's such a great personality, that will just like, you know, after 2 years of like Adam Gase sitting there and like in isolation on the sidelines with his play sheet and like a Sharpie marker, like this is going to breathe like a whole bunch of life into the franchise. And I like, you know, I think there's something to be said too about somebody like Richard Sherman, who like he talks a lot, but nobody made him go on Twitter. And I don't know, maybe he wants a job and maybe he wants, you know, that's what he's after, but nobody made that guy go on Twitter and Instagram and be like, this is a great hire. The Jets got it right. You know, and he's not somebody that's blowing smoke either. Like when he talks, he's saying what he thinks is the truth. He's not, you know, whether he's right or wrong, like he speaks with conviction. And I think that's cool too.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Richard Sherman is certainly somebody that doesn't suffer fools either. So he chose to go to San Francisco and chose to play for Salah as well. So that bodes well for one, his recruitment and of free agents, and also like getting guys to actually play for him. One of the interesting part as well is he's bringing over Mike LaFleur.
Love this too.
From San Francisco as the offensive coordinator. So obviously Mike, the brother of Matt, the Packers head coach. Both guys are from the Shanahan offensive tree, Shanahan being the head coach in San Francisco. Yep. So bringing along LaFleur and his stupid hat. if you're up on your clerks, is that clerks or is that Mallrats? Mallrats.
Isn't it?
Is it Mallrats or is it Clerks? I can't remember.
I think it's Clerks.
Yeah.
I think it's Clerks. And I'm only saying that because I feel like I know Mallrats pretty good, and I don't remember the stupid hat thing in Mallrats.
Yeah. That's the only thing I remember.
Somebody's going to make a comment on this and let us know.
Yeah. Yeah. Send us an email, add us on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, or put it in a review how wrong we are about where that reference is from. So I think they have an established offensive product to put out there that has worked well for different quarterbacks of all different types. And I think, you know, that bodes well for their system and keeping it a little bit fresher than what Adam Gase ran.
So, man, you know, just reading up on it and like pre-snap motion, play action, like all the things that, you know, in the world of like the modern NFL, where teams are going fast paced, where teams are, you know, using all this motion and you know, Adam Gase, it was like, get out of the huddle with 10 seconds left on the play clock and then just run a straight drop back pass. Like there was no creativity to it. And I'm excited about the LaFleur hire. Cause I think it will, you know, if they stick with Darnold, like it's a quarterback friendly system and it sort of plays to what they're saying are Sam Darnold's strengths, which I think is, you know, if you're going to keep him, that's good. It also, if you're going to pick a quarterback at number two, it also plays to the strengths of those next two guys, Justin Fields and Zach Wilson. So I think no matter where you go, that's a good quarterback friendly system.
Yeah, and I think speaking of the draft, the one thing that I worry about with Salah is that, you know, they had so many high picks invested in that defense in San Francisco. So if they could, I'm not sure if there is a high defensive draft pick for number two, but just kind of cement that defense, kind of how they did in San Francisco with a couple of those high picks.
There's no like Chase Young or Nick Bosa.
Right.
Or any other Ohio State defensive end for that matter. So I'm not sure when the first defensive player is projected to come off the board.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, you know, obviously Salah can recruit as he did with Sherman. So lots of different avenues for them. I think that's very exciting hire for them. Definitely up there with Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer has more of splash, but Salah may have a little bit more steak than the sizzle for Urban Meyer.
Right.
Let's move on to a couple of the other ones. Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator for Tennessee, moves to Atlanta. He obviously revitalized Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
We'll hope to revitalize the last few years of Matt Ryan's career there. That seems like a good hire. They have a lot of offensive talent. I think that they should be happy with that one.
Yeah, they got two pretty good wide receivers there, one on the tail end of their career, one up and coming. And I don't think you can say enough about the transformation of Ryan Tannehill that he orchestrated. And, you know, like you said, last couple years of Matt Ryan's career, then maybe it's Justin Fields or Zach Wilson. You know, I imagine they're probably going to draft a quarterback pretty early, or try to at least. So that's a good guy for those for the Falcons to have there.
Yeah, and they have a kind of a, you know, obviously they don't have the same running back that they have in Tennessee, but I think he could probably recreate that power run, and play action offense in Atlanta as well. The Eagles just today actually broke that they hired Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator from Indianapolis.
Yep.
It was rumored for a long time that they were going to hire Josh McDaniels, which I am actually quite glad that they did not. Josh McDaniels is a kind of a rude person, as far as I'm concerned. And he, when he's not with Belichick and he's not with Brady, it doesn't work out. He went to Denver, it didn't work out. He was in St. Louis, it did not work out. He was not, like, he couldn't make one from the other. He goes back to Belichick again.
It serves you right too. Like, you don't take a job, hire everybody on staff, and then decide that you don't want that job.
Right, yeah. So like he famously turned down Indy last year, 2 years ago. It was all but done in Indianapolis, and he backed out of it.
Yeah, I don't really feel sorry about that.
No, I don't, and I don't particularly like him. His mostly because of his association with the Patriots, and his time in St. Louis was disastrous.
You know what? It really goes to show you, when you're a coordinator, and you are the hot name, you got to take that job, because now he's not, he's absent from Tom Brady, and didn't exactly work wonders with Cam Newton.
Right.
You know? So the shine has certainly left him a bit in the last couple years.
Yeah. And I mean, there's only 30 of these jobs in the entire world. So if you want one and there's one available to you, you need to take it and then sort everything else out after that, is my opinion. So, I'm not really sure about this hire of Nick Sirianni for the Eagles, but
Frank Reich coaching tree has had a pretty, pretty good run of success in Indianapolis. It's maybe not the splashiest hire, but I can see that working out.
And Frank Reich previously was on the Eagles. Their best offensive season, Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator. So,
with Carson Wentz too, correct?
For most of the year. I think that was the year they went to the Super Bowl. He got injured late in the year. So that was Carson Wentz's best year.
He was an MVP candidate that year.
Yeah, early on, until he got hurt. Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully for the Eagles that they could, he has some of that kind of secret sauce that Frank Reich knows about to kind of unlock that offense. You know, he didn't call plays in Indianapolis. Frank Reich still called plays. So that'll be an adjustment, or maybe he won't call plays. Maybe he'll have somebody call plays for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's always what I concern myself with when you hire an offensive play caller, right? He hasn't previously called plays. You kind of wonder how that is going to end up.
Sure.
When you're doing that for the first time, amongst a million different other things, as being the CEO of a team, basically, and the front-facing person,
it's almost like you can't you know, only special select few people can do that. You know, the Andy Reeves of the world, or like you said, the Frank Reichs of the world can do that. But then again, like we didn't know that Frank Reich was going to, you know, when he got hired in Indianapolis, right? He wasn't calling plays in Philadelphia.
Right.
Right. So like, we didn't know what that would look like. And he's had a pretty good run of success.
Yeah. Certainly not outside the range of possibilities for sure that he'd be a success. So I think, you know, most people had kind of, for better or worse, thought about Josh McDaniels being there. So this is kind of, we'll take a little bit for the Philly faithful to get in a kind of a mode for him. So I think that benefits him, that there's basically no history, no expectations on him. And whatever happens is going to be up or down from there. He doesn't start it with any specific already preconceived notions there. So let's run through a couple of the other two. Dan Campbell was an assistant in New Orleans, gets hired by Detroit.
Love this hire.
Sell me on it, because he's got a press conference already where he's talking about biting people's knees and, you know, going a little wild.
Well, so you know why I like this. What else did he talk about in his press conference? Do you know?
I only saw the biting knees part. So go ahead.
The Big Lebowski. So that is it.
Okay.
All right. No, it's not the Sean Payton coaching tree. It's not, you know, the association with the Saints, which are all good things. It is that he has on his nameplate on his office, Dan Campbell, head coach / the dude.
Okay.
So, all right. I guess he resembles Jeff Bridges a bit in that movie. So that came up in the press conference, and that's all I have on Dan Campbell.
Okay. Hey, that's if that's all you got to go, that's good stuff to go on. So the last one that we have so far is Brandon Staley, the defensive coordinator for the Rams, will be hired by the LA Chargers. This one I feel like
interesting.
Is another. Yeah, it's interesting. And it's another one that I kind of mentioned with Robert Saleh, which is, you know, this happens a lot. A guy that gets hired from a great team, right, that has great talent, makes him look great, goes to another team with not necessarily as much talent.
Right.
Can they do it? That, you know, that's not necessarily, that doesn't say that he can't do it. But, you know, it's an open question that, you know, with that same level of talent, could he do the same thing for the other LA team?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's an interesting hire in the sense that you kind of thought they'd go offensive side of the ball with Herbert, you know, having a pretty good rookie year, looking very promising. I don't get this. To me, had Eric Bieniemy's name all over it.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure why he's not the head coach of the Chargers.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, you know, he has been passed over here again. I don't believe there's any more openings unless something comes up, you know, later in the season or in the off season. Second year in a row, he gets a bunch of interviews and gets passed over. So I'm not really sure why that's happening. Is he's past his up and coming star phase? He's in the post-star with Josh McDaniels.
I you know, there's a lot of, yeah, a lot of the questions about it. And I don't know, the guy should get a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he should get a chance. I mean, he's in the same boat as Sirianni.
Houston's open, isn't it?
Houston is still open. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be a nice little fix for Deshaun Watson.
And like that, you know, I think there's a lot of talk out of Houston, that bad vibes coming out of Houston, where their new GM is the old chaplain from the New England Patriots.
Right.
So Watson is not necessarily happy with that. I think, you know, he also probably wants Bieniemy there as well. So we'll see how that one gets resolved. Lots to shake out there. But yeah, Eric Bieniemy definitely deserves a chance. You know, a lot of these guys don't have as much experience as him, and you know, probably, I'm sure he would probably do a pretty good job. Every NFL player talks well about him.
Was he the offensive coordinator when Alex Smith was quarterback there?
I don't remember. He's been there for a long time, so
yeah, well,
he certainly could have been.
Yeah, I don't know if he was or not. if he was, that just is more fuel to the fire. It's not like he's a Patrick Mahomes, you know, product.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I don't, I wouldn't, yes, I wouldn't think that he's a Patrick Mahomes
right,
product
no,
at all. He's been there much longer
than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, hasn't called plays, but you know, other guys yeah, haven't called right. plays. And
we already just decided that that wasn't the be all end all, right? Like
right.
that was,
yeah. Yeah.
And everyone that, you know, has played for him or you know, like Patrick Mahomes won't stop talking about how incredible he
right.
is. And
right.
you know, that's got to mean something.
Yep. And minus Robert Saleh, there's one thing that he has that's different than all of these other guys. Right. So,
yeah, you hope that's not, I mean, I don't know. You don't want to.
Yeah. Don't want to speculate, but you know, that certainly does stick out as he continues to get passed over and these other guys.
Right.
Get promoted. So let's go ahead and move on to the conference championship week. We have two games on Sunday this week. We're getting down to the end of it. We just got three games left in the NFL season. So let's savor these. So the first game, Tampa Bay at Green Bay, 3 o'clock Eastern on Sunday afternoon. The line is Green Bay 3.5. The total is 52. What's your first read on this one?
My gut wants to say this is Green Bay's game. I mean, if there's anybody that knows how to play in the cold, it's Tom Brady. You know, so it's never good to count him out or bet against him. I think that, Green Bay's a bit more of a complete team. I think they have the ability, the savvy, the know-how to get past that pretty aggressive Todd Bowles defense. So give me, so you said, it's 3.5.
3.5.
Give me Green Bay and I will, I'm going to take the under on that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking this is like 24-14, something like that.
Okay. So I'm going to actually agree with you on Green Bay. I think Tampa Bay played, beat New Orleans fairly handily, but they were benefits of 4 turnovers with 21 points off those turnovers.
I don't think that's going to happen this week.
Yeah, it's not going to happen this week. And I think they are, Green Bay's defense is not as good as New Orleans' defense. And Tampa Bay is going to blitz a lot. I think Rodgers will handle the blitz pretty handily. So I'm going to take Green Bay and the over.
The only chance that Tampa Bay has is if Rodgers is looking past them to his guest host gig on Jeopardy.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, sometimes there's bigger things than football. And in this case, it's Jeopardy.
Yeah. So I don't think he's doing that. And I don't think that they're going to lose to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay is good, but they benefited against New Orleans, and New Orleans looks like they're kind of pretty hurt, and
right.
It was kind of the end of the run for them. So they benefited there immensely. So
Michael Thomas had no catches in that game.
Unbelievable. He was on my my fantasy.
Me too.
For the playoffs. I know.
Oh,
I thought
my
this
God.
Was a big game for him.
What?
Yeah. Nothing. Zero.
Unbelievable. Wow.
Yeah. So that was a shocker to me, obviously. So now it comes out that they're all hurt and they
right.
shouldn't have been playing, but they were trying to tough it out. So, good for them for toughing it out, but, yeah. So didn't happen for them. So moving on to the next game, that's 6:40 PM Eastern, Buffalo at Kansas City. Kansas City looks to be right now a 2.5 point favorite, with 56 on the over under. The latest I looks like Patrick Mahomes is on track to play this game.
So I think he was limited yesterday. I didn't look anything up today.
From what I read, that he's not allowed to be called full because he's still in the concussion
protocol. Yeah.
So they called him limited as per that protocol. So, but it doesn't seem like there is anything in his way for playing.
Well, I'm going to go with maybe the unpopular pick here and say, that the Bills are going to win that game. I've gotten over the course of this year. And if you had asked me this at the beginning of the year, I would have laughed directly at you. but I have gotten onto the Josh Allen, bandwagon.
Yeah.
And I like what they're doing up there. And I think they, you know, Kansas City is not last year's Kansas City.
Yep. That's right? For sure.
And at the very least, Buffalo is going to have a chance to win this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
All right. And obviously that's reflected in a line at 2.5 under a field goal. So, Vegas or whomever is setting these lines, it's going to come down to a field goal, one way or the other.
Right.
So, I'm going to take Kansas City on this one. Okay. I think that they win by 3. I'm not super confident about that. I actually like, if I could get that Bills teased up close to 10, I would feel comfortable with that. I'd probably have to pair that with another, item, but, this one's going to be, there's just so much out there. I mean, I think if this was a regular season game, I don't know if they would have the lineup, because the question's still around Mahomes. But I think because it's only one of two games, they put the lineup,
right?
No matter what, everybody's just started putting it up. So,
I like the Bills regardless of who's playing quarterback. Okay. I'm gonna pick the upset here.
Okay. So, Tim goes for the upset, but I go for the favorite here. So I think, you know, minus Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Buffalo, all interesting teams for me in the Super Bowl. Would be a fun Super Bowl with any of those three teams.
Yeah, and you got the two young guys in the AFC, the two older guys in the NFC. You know, you're gonna have a good Super Bowl regardless.
Yeah, it should be fun either way. I mean, I think that, and it also gets to a discussion that we were having the other day about, you know, how there's just old quarterbacks and young quarterbacks in the NFL, and there's no kind of middle-aged quarterbacks.
Yeah, who's the 29-year-old?
Yeah. Right. It's probably Ryan Tannehill is the guy that comes to mind.
Yeah.
The middle-aged guy. He's on his second chance too now. So, that's kind of how you end up in the middle there. So it's young guys and old guys. I think they had, on one of the playoff things, they had the, demonstration of the adult table and the kids table, for the different ages of the quarterbacks. So it's, that's just kind of how it is in the NFL now. You get a good quarterback and you hold on to him forever, or you keep recycling your quarterback with another young guy until you hit the lottery.
Exactly.
All right. So let's, that'll do it for the NFL talk today. We got a few extra minutes here. We can just quickly vibe on the Major League Baseball.
Yes, hot stove.
Yeah. So the big trade over the last couple of weeks was, Francisco Lindor from Cleveland to the Mets. The Mets got a new ownership group and suddenly spending like nobody's business. Getting everybody they can get their hands on. So Francisco Lindor, big star moving to the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's one of the best players in the league. I know I always try to draft him in fantasy. He's going to be an instant game changer over there. I love the move for the Mets. And you know, I doubt they're done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think they'll continue to, trade anybody who is, available. I mean, I think that gets to our, the other point that kind of comes to mind about Major League Baseball right now is how many teams are competing, right? The Cleveland obviously isn't. They were trading Lindor for, prospects,
right?
San Diego is gathering stars prospects.
They're making their move.
The Dodgers have been doing this for years, gathering stars for prospects. Obviously, the Yankees are always going to be the Yankees. The Mets are obviously in it to win it. And beyond that, maybe Toronto.
Yeah, now Toronto with that signing.
Yeah, obviously they signed Brantley. No, they did not sign Brantley.
Springer.
They signed Springer, the other outfielder from Texas. What do you think is, I guess, the impact of that with just so few teams actually going for the gold this year?
Yeah, it's definitely an issue that baseball needs to look at, and it's only really, you know, I feel like for a while there, baseball, this might be an unpopular opinion, was the most competitively the most competitively balanced sport. I think that for a while, free agency actually, there's all this stuff about like spending, the rich teams get richer. Like, and that really isn't, I don't think that's all that true. Like free spending didn't get, everybody what they wanted. And now you've got this odd thing where a lot of teams are like you said, a lot of teams are our favorite team. They don't look like they're trying to,
no,
the Cardinals are trying to compete right now. I think you have like the American League East has a couple teams, right? But like,
right.
I don't think Boston's not going to be in there. Tampa Bay is probably going to be competitive.
Right.
I don't know. It's an odd landscape that, that I don't know what it is. Like in some, like there's no reason the Red Sox should not, as a major market team, never be like competitive. So this luxury tax thing and getting under it, like it's billed to be this thing where it's supposed to level the playing field. In reality, I wonder how much it really is doing that.
Right. And I think you see that, in other leagues too, like the NBA has a luxury tax and a pretty punitive one as well. Pretty expensive, but the teams that want to spend are going to spend, right? And the teams that want to stay under that are going to stay under that. So that kind of creates a haves and haves nots level.
Right. In an effort to mitigate that, it creates a haves and haves not.
Like, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like makes it even worse.
Yeah. And I think, obviously the pandemic exacerbates that a little bit and speeds that up. But even we saw that last couple of years, right? A bunch of teams just not even signing guys that they really needed, right? The Cardinals cutting Colton Wong to save a couple million dollars is really just egregious.
I do not understand that.
Yeah. So, I think I want to, as we get closer to baseball season, bring on some guests so we can kind of dive into that theory a little bit more and talk about, why that happens, what to do about it, and what we get out of it. I think, baseball is uniquely suited to kind of randomness, right? Does the ball spin one way off the guy's hand? Does he drop it? Does it go over the wall? Does it bounce?
The dying quail fall in, that
exactly. There's so much there that's random that on a small game sample in the playoffs, anything can happen. So I think, just lining up a couple of teams that want to win, they're the only teams that get in the playoffs. They're the only teams that can win. Say the Pirates went for it, right? If they got in the playoffs, anything could happen. We were all there for 2006 where Detroit was supposed to win in three games in the World Series and did not because of
win Cardinals world champions.
Yeah, exactly. Cause the things went right. David Eckstein's double fell in, pitchers forgot how to throw to the bases. These kind of things can happen in a very small game sample in baseball. Exactly. So I think that randomness is what makes baseball fun. And, when you're kind of taking that out of the equation, by just not competing at all, it makes it less fun. So,
yeah. I hope that the baseball season is not as we're kind of previewing it, that it might be, which is a bunch of sort of games that don't mean anything with five or six teams really competing. I think baseball, the hallmark has been, there have been teams that have been able to overcome those gaps, and it's been exciting to see a Pirates, be good for a few years there, and the Tampa Bay Rays, that's been fun, and you hope it hasn't lost that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I hope that we see some teams trying to go for it here as the maybe they have a hot start and they start going for it. That's right. Exactly what we'd like to see.
Right.
All right. So that about covers it for this week.
Hey, real quick before we wrap it up, have you listened to the podcast? I'll shout this out, I guess, The Edge, about the Houston Astros.
I have not.
No. All right. I'm going to recommend that.
Okay.
Recommendation
corner here.
Why am I blanking on the guy's name? He wrote the book Astro Ball. Ben, I'm looking it up right now. Ben,
Writer.
He does the podcast, and it's all an investigation into the trash banging scheme and other things that they may have had going. He actually gets to interview your old boy Jeff Luhnow. And it's interesting to hear his perspective. I'm not sure I buy it, but it's interesting to hear his perspective. And yeah, it gets into a lot of things that are just go beyond the cheating scandal. At some points, it probably tries to do too much and be more than it needs to be. But overall, I listened to it over the last week, and I just kept on hitting play on the next one. So good pod right there.
All right, cool. Good recommendation for early baseball warmups, early baseball drafts happening around the DynastySportsEmpire.com family. I know I have a couple starting on Monday, so I gotta get to my research, get my spreadsheets going, so we can try to get some wins this year.
All right,
buddy. Well, I will talk to you next week.
Sounds good, man. Good times.
All right. See ya.
All right, later on.